In February 1991, seven freshmen of the Ateneo de Manila University School of Law expressed their interest in joining the distinguished and decades-old law fraternity Aquila Leges. The initiates were supposed to undergo 3 days of hazing, but after the second night, one of them had to be rushed to the hospital, where he took his final breath and was pronounced dead on arrival. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify with new episodes out every week. This is the story of Lenny Villa, who passed away as a direct result of fraternity hazing. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic nature of this story. Leonardo Villa was the only son of Romulo and Gerarda Villa, and though he grew up to love photography, what he really wanted to do professionally was be a lawyer like his father. In 1990, when he was 22 years old, Lenny, as his family and friends called him, enrolled at one of the most prestigious law schools in the country, the Ateneo de Manila University School of Law. As with many universities all over the Philippines, the Ateneo Law School has fraternities and sororities, but few as distinguished as the Aquila Leges, pronounced Aquila Leges in Latin for Eagle of the Law, which since its founding in 1949 has produced bar top-notchers, many of whom have risen to public prominence as legislators, justices, and cabinet secretaries. Fraternities aim to provide students a network that can greatly enrich their university experience, even extending beyond school. And for law schools in particular, membership is seen sometimes as necessary for survival. Lenny Villa seemed to have thought so, especially since his father had joined a fraternity when he was studying law at the University of the Philippines, and it was for this reason that Lenny's parents didn't object when he asked them for permission to join the Aquila Leges. They assumed their son would just be made to run errands or get picked on in front of girls. Nothing life-threatening, but they unfortunately assumed wrong. On the evening of February 8, 1991, a Friday, Lenny was met by several Aquilans at the lobby of the Ateneo Law School. He was with six other neophytes, namely Cesar Asuncion, Samuel Belleza, Bienvenido Marquez III, Roberto Francis Navera, Jeronimo Recinto, and Felix C. Jr. After dinner at Rufo's restaurant, they went to the house of an Aquilan named Michael Musngi, who gave the neophytes a briefing on what to expect during their initiation rites. They were scheduled to last for 3 days, and there were going to be physical beatings, though they were free to quit at any time. After the briefing, Lenny and the other six were brought to the Almeda compound in Caloocan for the immediate commencement of the initiation. The threats and insults from the Aquilans began as soon as the seven neophytes were in the van, and the physical blows came as soon as they got off and walked towards the pelota court of the compound. The seven were subjected to the traditional Aquilan hazing rituals, which included the Indian run, which had initiates running a gauntlet of two parallel rows of Aquilans who hit them left and right as they passed. There was the Bicol Express, which had the neophytes sitting on the floor with their legs outstretched before them and their backs against the wall as Aquilans walked, ran, or jumped over their legs. There was the so-called rounds, which had Aquilans hitting the initiates with fist blows on their arms and knee blows on their thighs while they were held at the back of their pants by auxiliaries who were Aquilans assigned to neophytes to assist and protect them during initiation. And there was the Oxy's Privilege Round, which gave auxiliaries their chance to inflict physical pain on the neophytes they were charged to help. Lenny and the other six endured all of these on their first day, and as they did so, they were indoctrinated with the principles of the fraternity. The following morning on February 9, while their bodies were still sore from the first day's beatings, the initiates were made to present comic skits to the Aquilans and played rough basketball with them. They were also required to recite the Aquila Leges' principles, which they were also quizzed about, and they were hit on their arms or legs for every wrong answer they gave. The Aquilans then resumed the first day's hazing rituals, and after a few more hours of the Indian Run, Bicol Express, Rounds, and the Oxy's Privilege Round, the second day was officially declared over. But just as Lenny and the other initiates were thinking that they could finally take a breather, alumni fraternity members Fidelito Dizon and Artemio Villarreal demanded that the initiation rites be reopened for the night. Nelson Victorino, who was the head of initiation rites, initially refused, but gave in upon the insistence of Dizon and Villarreal. The Aquilans, including the two alumni members, then subjected the initiates to paddling and to other forms of physical beatings. Lenny received several paddle blows, one of which was so powerful it sent him sprawling to the ground. He complained of intense pain and difficulty in breathing, and after the last round of physical beatings, Lenny had to be carried by auxiliaries to the carport as he couldn't walk anymore. With the second day officially ended for the second time, the neophytes ate dinner and then slept at the carport. An hour after they had all gone to sleep, the neophytes were roused by the sound of Lenny's incoherent grumblings and the shaking of his body. Villarreal and Dizon initially dismissed this as they thought he was only overacting. Some Aquilans checked Lenny, however, and determined he was really feeling cold, so they removed his clothes and placed him in a sleeping bag to keep him warm. When his condition didn't improve, they finally rushed him to the Chinese General Hospital, but Lenny, early that morning of February 10th, was pronounced dead on arrival due to cardiac arrest caused by his injuries, which included a broken jaw and finger, crushed ribs, and needle holes in his palms. Lenny's death sparked a huge public uproar, and the incident was investigated by Ateneo, which led to Ateneo President Father Joaquin Bernas expelling Aquila Leges President Antonio Mariano Almeida, along with 10 other fraternity members. The National Bureau of Investigation identified the Aquilans present during the fatal initiation rites, and Justice Secretary Franklin Drilon ordered the filing of criminal charges against them. A criminal case for homicide was filed against 35 Aquilans, 26 of whom were jointly tried, while the remaining 9 were held in abeyance due to certain matters that needed to be resolved first. The first 26 were Fidelito Dizon, Artemio Villarreal, Efren De Leon, Vincent Texon, Junel Anthony Ama, Antonio Mariano Almeida, Renato Bantug Jr., Nelson Victorino, Eulogio Saban, Joseph Liedo, Etienne Guerrero, Michael Musni, Jonas Carl Perez, Paul Angelo Santos, Ronan de Guzman, Antonio General, Jaime Maria Flores II, Dalmacio Lim Jr., Ernesto Jose Montesillo, Santiago Ranada III, Zosimo Mendoza, Vicente Verdadero, Amante Purisima II, Jude Fernandez, Adel Abbas, and Percival Brigola. And the latter 9 were Manuel Escalona II, Crisanto Saruca Jr., Anselmo Adriano, Marcos Joel Ramos, Reynaldo Concepcion, Florentino Ampil, Enrico de Vera III, Stanley Fernandez, and Noel Cabangon. Charges were also filed against National Telecommunications Commission Deputy Commissioner Florencio Ampil, whose house reportedly was where the hazing took place. The senior Ampil denied his participation in the act but said that he only gave an address at the initiation rites as a fraternity alumni officer and dealt a, quote, symbolic slap, end quote, which he described as, quote, that given by a Roman Catholic bishop on a boy or girl in the church's confirmation rites, end quote. President Corazon Aquino accepted Ampil's resignation from his NTC post, and she urged the immediate passage of a law making hazing a crime, which was something that Lenny Villa's parents were also campaigning for. On November 8, 1993, more than 2 years after Lenny's death, Caloocan City Regional Trial Court Judge Adoracion Angeles convicted the 26 accused who were jointly tried guilty beyond reasonable doubt of homicide as they conspired with one another in the initiation rites that led to Lenny's death. They were each sentenced to reclusión temporal, which back then was a minimum of 10 years and a maximum of 14 years in prison, and they were ordered to pay more than 1 million pesos in damages, which in today's money would be more than 3.6 million pesos, or around 72,000 US dollars. A few weeks later, on November 29, the criminal case against the remaining 9 accused was started anew. 8 years later, on January 10, 2002, the Court of Appeals acquitted 19 of the 26 who were previously convicted, though one of the 26, Efren De Leon, had already passed away. According to the ruling, Lenny and the other initiates were willing victims, having agreed to the initiation beforehand and not backed out, so there could have been no conspiracy among the Aquila Leges members to commit the crime of homicide. Judge Ubolo Verzola, who penned the ruling, said, quote, "There can be no fraternity initiation without consenting neophytes," end quote, and Justices Rodrigo Cosico and Elizer de los Santos agreed. Four others of the 26 were found guilty of the crime of slight physical injuries by inflicting on Lenny, quote, "more than the usual punishment undertaken during initiation rites," end quote. They were Vincent Texon, Junel Anthony Ama, Antonio Mariano Almeida, and Renato Bantog Jr., and they were sentenced to 20 days of arresto menor and ordered to jointly pay Lenny's heirs the sum of 30,000 pesos as indemnity. The remaining two of the 26, Fidelito Dizon and Artemio Villarreal, who pushed for the reopening of the initiation rites which had already been declared over for the day, were found guilty of the crime of homicide. The Court of Appeals noted that Dizon and Villarreal acted with criminal intent towards Lenny and another neophyte named Bienvenido Marquez III, who was hospitalized with kidney failure. Dizon was reportedly mad at Lenny because of an argument over parking space between the respective fathers, while Villarreal apparently suspected that Marquez's family was involved in the death of his brother. Having found no mitigating or aggravating circumstance, however, the Court of Appeals sentenced Dizon and Villarreal to an indeterminate sentence of 10 years of prisión mayor to 17 years of reclusión temporal and ordered them to indemnify, jointly and severally, Lenny's heirs in the sum of 50,000 pesos and an additional 1 million pesos for damages. The legal proceedings continued, and in 2012, 21 years after Lenny's death, the Supreme Court found Fidelito Dizon, Antonio Mariano Almeida, Junel Anthony Ama, Renato Bantog Jr., and Vincent Texon guilty beyond reasonable doubt of reckless imprudence resulting in homicide. This lowered Dizon's criminal liability from the crime of homicide and aggravated the verdict against Texon and the three others from slight physical injuries. The five were sentenced to an indeterminate prison term of a minimum of 4 months of arresto mayor to a maximum of 4 years and 2 months of prisión correccional. On different dates from 2002 to 2015, the criminal cases against eight of the latter nine, who were Manuel Escalona II, Crisanto Saruca Jr., Anselmo Adriano, Marcos Joel Ramos, Reynaldo Concepcion, Florentino Ampil, Stanley Fernandez, and Noel Cabangon, were dismissed by the Court of Appeals on the basis of a violation of their right to speedy trial. Lenny's mother, Gerarda, filed a motion for partial reconsideration of the dismissal of the first five names, asserting that the court abused its discretion in concluding that their right to speedy trial was violated, but Gerarda's motion was denied. As for the latter three names, the Court of Appeals decision, written by Justice Nina Antonio Valenzuela, said that Judge Adoracion Angeles committed grave abuse of discretion in not recognizing their right to speedy trial, which began only in March 2005, 11 years after their arraignment in 1993. It's unclear what happened to the case of Enrico de Vera III, who was the last of the 35, but the absence of any mention of his name in online court transcripts and news reports aside from the initial filing of charges might mean his case was dismissed early or was settled out of court. On August 21, 1991, 6 months after Lenny's death, a non-profit organization called Crusade Against Violence, or CAV, that aims to provide legal aid to victims of violent crimes like hazing was co-founded by Lenny's parents, Romulo and Gerarda Villa. 4 years later, in 1995, Republic Act 8049, or the Anti-Hazing Act, was passed into law, but despite the name, it didn't completely ban hazing, only serving to regulate and provide penalties for it. Bills were proposed to amend the act, and 23 years later, in 2018, President Rodrigo Duterte finally signed into law Republic Act 11053, which completely prohibits hazing and imposes harsher penalties on organizers and participants thereof. Had the anti-hazing law existed already when Lenny passed away, the 35 accused in his case would have been convicted of homicide, including former NTC Deputy Commissioner Florencio Ampil, if it had been proven that his house was where the hazing was committed. Instead, they only got a slap on the wrist, and most of them had gone on to become successful lawyers without ever spending one day in prison because they were able to pay bail. Some of them, as of this recording, occupy powerful government positions, and none of them, according to Lenny's mother Gerarda, have even approached her family to apologize. More than 30 years later, and Gerarda had taken over her husband's post as CAV president after he passed away, and she continues to fight for justice, not just for her son Lenny, but also for other victims of hazing. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This story was suggested by listener Jeremy Daniel through the show's Facebook group. And this episode was written, narrated, and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.